Well, this is the week of our mission conference. I appreciated the things that Pastor Farley had to say, not only about his work and Brother Alex on the beautiful banner, but the theme this year. You know, the Great Commission is given to all believers, but it must be taken personally by local churches if they're going to become involved in missions. And when we say the nations need all the resources we possess, we're not talking about Christendom as a whole. That might be true. We're talking about all the resources that we possess as a local church here at Open Door. Paul made the statement to the church in Corinth that they came behind in no spiritual gifts. And we, by faith, believe that's true about us, that God has equipped us to do a work, and it's not based upon the size of the church. It's based upon the faithfulness of God. And anyone that is familiar with this church knows that the only way to explain our mission program and the impact is in the terms of the grace of God, because indeed we have made an impact on the world and we're continuing to do so, but it is because we are corporately committed to making a difference. And you understand that the challenge, if you will, the blessing and the liability of a faith ministry. As long as people continue to stand in faith, the ministry goes forward. The minute that people decide that they no longer can trust God, then the ministry retreats. And I'll tell you what, I am troubled about what's happening in the world, and I'm sorry, just the way that, well, I'm not really sorry, but just the way that I'm put together, I look at things from a spiritual standpoint. And when I look at gasoline at $5 a gallon and headed north, immediately I'm concerned about the faith of God's people, with us being on the threshold of a new mission conference and a new faith promise. And if there is ever a time that God's people need to exercise faith, it's in the day and age in which we live today. But I'd remind you of a promise Jesus made when he gave the Great Commission. He said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That way, that word "always," English word, translated from a Greek word that means in every situation. Not just all the time, but all the time in every situation. So I would challenge you this morning in Jesus' name, based upon his authority, that it doesn't make any difference what's happening in the world. Jesus is up to the challenge. And he has promised to be with us today. And just look outside. You don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer to know the world has not ended. So the Great Commission is still in force and Jesus is still with us, right? Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 21. We're departing from our series on the story of Old Testament salvation because I want to bring to you a relevant mission message. It's part of the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys story. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1 of Acts 21. The Bible says in Acts 21:1, "It came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Peratera, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unladen her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship. And they returned home again. You know, the Apostle John tells us in the conclusion of his gospel that there were many other things that Jesus did that John did not record in his gospel. And he says in John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So my point is this, according to the Scriptures, God has not included everything of significance that happened through the lives of the patriarchs and the apostles and the Lord Jesus. He has spiritually selected to include those things that he knows is important for our faith. So as we look at our text this morning, Acts 21, verses 1 through 6, it begs the question, of all the stories that God could include about the Acts of the Apostles that obviously are not included, why did he select this story? Well, I'm convinced one of the reasons is to teach us that there's no such thing as an accidental or chance meeting when it comes to missionaries and his church. That God wants to explain to us, wants to teach us through this passage, that he is still the great orchestrator of events. And he does it for a purpose, a benefit for us. Let me share with you 3 benefits that I see from this text this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this time. Thank you for these people, their faith to be here, their attention to the Word of God. Lord, I ask that you would take the Word of God and that you would use me this morning. I recognize the fact all I can be and what I need to be is faithful to clearly communicate the Word of God. Dear Holy Spirit, I know that you alone are the one that can speak to hearts, establish faith, change lives, and I would ask you to do that this morning. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name together. Amen. The first point I want to make, the first thing that I see from this passage that I think will help you is, when missionaries are involved, what appears to be planned can easily become a divine appointment. Let me repeat that. when missionaries are involved with the church, what appears to be simply planned can easily become a divine appointment. Now look why I say this. Look in verse number 1 again. The Bible says, and it came to pass that after we had gotten from them, the context of that statement is what precedes it in Acts 20. Where we're told that Paul is in Miletus, and from Miletus he calls the elders of Ephesus to him. And he meets with them, and we'll talk about this meeting and the emotions of it shortly. But he is leaving Miletus, and he is traveling to Caesarea. And notice it says, and it came to pass that after we had gotten from them and had launched, it's talking about the ship, that the ship had launched to sea, we came with a straight course unto Cos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Paratera, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we would say, when we saw Cyprus and went past it, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unladen her burden. And finding disciples there, we tarried 7 days. Now here's what we're told and what I want to point out to you. Paul and his missionary team obviously took passage on a merchant vessel that is headed to in the direction of Caesarea. We're told specifically the itinerary of this ship. They head to Cos, Rhodes, Paratera. They change ships in Phoenicia and sail past Cyprus and land in Tyre for 7 days. A 7-day layover, the reason being to unload this merchant vessel before they head on to Caesarea. When I read this itinerary, I can't help but think of modern day travel. You know, you talk to Cindy Ann, you talk to Zach in India, you talk to the pastors that teach in India. We've got a very specific itinerary that we follow. We load up in Orlando. Sometimes we fly to New York. Sometimes we fly directly to Amsterdam. Sometimes on the really long flights, we fly all the way to Bangalore, one flight, 15 hours. We have layovers. Bangalore used to be like a 15-hour layover. This is the way travel is. This is what Paul and his missionary team were experiencing. But I don't want you to miss it. They're traveling on a merchant vessel. Paul and his team were passengers. They didn't dictate the itinerary. That's something that the captain did. But I'd remind you, and this story reminds us, that there is a God in heaven that is sovereign and orders and orchestrates the itinerary of His children. And suddenly, what appeared to be routine, a scheduled stop in the ship's route becomes the divine appointment for Paul and the church there entire meet together. Can you see this? I am sure that just the wording of the text, that Paul didn't realize that they were going to hook up with these believers in Tyre. They got on the ship. They knew where the itinerary was. We know from the Bible that Paul's ultimate goal is to end up in Jerusalem. Surely he was soul conscious. Surely he was disciple conscious, that he would hope that in this journey they would have the opportunity to share the gospel. They would have the opportunity to meet believers, that they could minister, that they could be an encouragement. But they had no idea what God had planned for them when this ship makes a scheduled stop in Tyre that's going to be a 7-day layover to unload their burdens and have more merchandise put in the hold before they take off again. My point is this. God is showing us that there is no such thing as an accidental meeting between His church and missionaries. Here at Open Door, we may have spent months making our plans for this conference. We may have schedules that we follow. In fact, Pastor Farley just sent out the final itinerary for the week, upcoming this week. Missionaries may be journeying to us. I think of Pastor Brian Thiessen, who we've been praying for because he's flying in out of Canada to be the main speaker this week. And with what's going on in Canada, we need to pray that he'll be able to make it out and make it back in. But this story teaches us that it is our God that is orchestrating the events of this upcoming week. This is not accidental. This is not explained in the context of it's just a church program. It's just all attributed to planning. Lord, help us. If what takes place next week can be explained in human terms. It's never been that way in the past. We might come to the week of conference exactly the way the Apostle Paul and his team does, not having any idea what God has planned. But every year, without fail, at the end of the week, we know that we've been part of a divine appointment. And it's exciting. It's exciting to realize that we, this week, we are going to have the ingredients that we need for something special. What are those ingredients? Missionaries. This church. God. You know, I hear it over and over again, have heard it for years. This year is my 39th year associated with Open Door. We had our very first mission conference the very first year that we started the church. Little did we know what God was going to do. But let me tell you something. At the end of the week, we all knew that He had done it. It's always a blessing. Because look, God would not give us the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, unless He was going to encourage us and enable us to do it. And He does. I want you to listen to me. One of the reasons people won't come to the mission conference, and I just need to be real frank, it's always been the case. I've never liked it, but it's always the reality. No matter how much I encourage folks to come to the conference, I can't make their spiritual decisions for them. I can't make them be here. But I'll tell you this, one of the reasons people don't come is because they're faithless. I'm not talking about people that are providentially hindered. So please don't think that I don't understand. I'm talking about people that are easily able to come. They hear the appeal this morning and they make a conscious choice not to come. And you know why? Let me tell you why. They're faithless. They don't believe, they don't expect anything is going to happen. They don't think that the mission conference is for them. I've never really understood that, how God's people can think that the Great Commission applies to some of us and it doesn't apply to all of us. That the work of the church is the work of some, but it's not the work of all. And I would simply say to you, if you're in that category, I would repeat the words of the Lord Jesus. Be not faithless, but be believing. Look, when God's people show up in force to the conference, I don't get a missionary kickback. Do you understand that? There's absolutely nothing in it for me. I don't stand in front of the mirror at night and say, boy, you're really something. You got them to come out. Listen, the two people that are rewarded who have the faith to come out to a missionary meeting like this are the individuals that make the decision and the missionaries that are encouraged by our presence, and our presence is an encouragement to them. The second thing that I see that I want to share with you is this. If such an encounter as what Paul and his team experienced, if such an encounter is not accidental, then there is an obvious reason that God is bringing missionaries in the church together. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, don't you agree that if God orchestrated this event between Paul and his team and these missionaries, or this church entire, don't you think that God had a reason behind it? If God would lead this church to have missionaries in and the church assembled, don't you think that there is a reason behind what God is doing? Look at this statement, just a phrase in verse number 5 of Acts 21. The Bible says, and when we had, what's the next word? Accomplished. When we had accomplished those days, we departed. What does accomplished imply? That something was being done. That something of significance was brought to pass. This week, for the apostles and this church, were governed by time. It was a 7-day layover dictated by their travel. But God was Lord over those 7 days. And God had something that He intended to accomplish within that week. And because He is God, I might add, He accomplished it. We look at the story and we can see that it was mutually beneficial for both the missionaries and the church. I think you can well imagine that it would have been wonderful to be able to spend a week with the likes of the Apostle Paul and Luke and the men that were with them. You know, we on the other side of history understand how significant the Apostle Paul was, how great the Apostle Paul was. Can you imagine what it would be like if I announced this morning, we're going to have a mission conference, and oh, by the way, the Lord is sending the Apostle Paul to be with us. Do you think we'd have any problem filling this place up? Do you think people from all over South Lake County, all over Central Florida, would want to be part of our service because, after all, the Apostle Paul is going to be here? And none other than Luke, the writer of the gospel, the great historian that happened to be a doctor. But you see, we're on the other side of history, and what the Bible teaches us is that when Paul actually lived and ministered, he wasn't appreciated any more than some of God's people appreciate the missionaries that are going to be with us. You say, why would you say that? You know the book of Philippians? Paul makes this statement. He says, at the beginning, I'm paraphrasing, at the beginning of my gospel ministry, no other church supported me but ye only. In other words, the Apostle Paul is going out as a missionary evangelist. And when it came to material support, financial support, for him to be able to conduct his ministry, he said there was only one church that supported him. The Philippians, which he would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, was one of the poorest of the churches. And I ask the question, who in their right mind wouldn't want to invest in the Apostle Paul's ministry if they had the opportunity? Are you listening to me? Why wouldn't people do that? They didn't appreciate him. Other things were more important. They weren't people of faith. I've been saved now and involved with missionaries for well over 40 years. Truly, truly, the greatest people that I've ever met are some of the missionaries that I've encountered. I think of Gary Forney, who went home to be with the Lord just recently. He was the only gospel preacher. He was the first gospel preacher to go into Arctic Canada. And when he told stories of divine appointment, listen to me, you realize he and the Apostle Paul could sit in the same circle and exchange, if you will, spiritual war stories and just one-upman the entire evening. We never had the chance to meet the Apostle Paul, but a whole bunch of us had the opportunity to not only meet, but financially support, pray for, rub shoulders with Gary Forney. And we've got a board full of missionaries like that. I was thinking of Zach. Sorry, Zach. Thinking of Cindy Ann. In a crowd. In a crowd that did not know them. They would appear very unassuming until you heard their testimony. Till you heard of the years of faithful ministry in India and the impact that they made and are making. And they're one of us. We get to rub shoulders with them. I remember the first time I heard Zach speak. I thought, my soul, where did that come from? And of course, the answer came quickly, the Spirit of God. And it's such a thrill to see him in India, working as husband and wife in India. We not only have a chance to know them, we have the chance to pray for them and support them. And I think over the years how missionaries have changed my life. Some of you have the testimony because you have shared it with me. I've heard it over and over again connected with mission conference here at Open Door. People saying to me, I have been a Christian for 30 years. I've heard about missionaries. This is the first time that I have ever actually met missionaries. Had a chance to talk with them. Had a chance to get to know them. I want you to notice, but it's not just beneficial for us as a church. It's beneficial for the missionaries as well. Notice, if you would, in our text, in verse number 4, Acts 21:4. These believers, through the Spirit, told the Apostle Paul he shouldn't go to Jerusalem. Now, I would not recommend this for believers or missionaries, not heeding what God says. I don't think there's much debate about this. These believers said to Paul what they said to Paul about not going to Jerusalem through the Spirit. Agabus will give that same warning to the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit. And Paul, just as human as you and I are, didn't pay any attention. He suffered the consequences. You say, yeah, but didn't God use him? Yeah, God's grace is greater than our sins. That doesn't mean we shouldn't heed the Spirit of God. But there are a number of other stories in the Bible where Paul's life was in danger. Believers counseled him, he listened to them, and his life was spared. Look, we have a tendency sometimes to think that missionaries coming to Open Door, it's all one-sided. You know, they're coming because they need money and we've got money and they're looking for support. Baloney. There are things that we can help them with and there are things that they can help us with. This is just the nature of ministry fellowship. So you rubbing shoulders with these missionaries this week is going to be a blessing to them as well as it's going to be a blessing to you. It is a mutual admiration society. Third thing I want you to see this morning will be done. The opportunity to spend times with missionaries can make an impact on the entire family. If you're single, this week can make an impact on you. If you're married, whatever stage of your marriage you're in, this week can make an impact on you. If you have got a family, this week can make an impact not only on mom and dad, but kids too. Because notice, if you would, the text. Verse number 5, "And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship. And they returned home again." What this story teaches us, that time with missionaries passes quickly and it always comes to an end. Oh, it's a busy week for everyone involved. But we always say the same thing. Where'd the week go? It passed so quickly. And just as surely as the missionaries are coming in on Wednesday and will be here with us Wednesday night, come Sunday night, they're going to be making plans to load up and leave and go to their next spot. You know, Zach and India and Cindy Ann and the Gerbers, they're making plans to go back to India right after the mission conference. Praise the Lord that they can travel. Praise the Lord that they can get back to India. But the time passes so quickly. This church in Tyre expressed its love that had developed this week for the missionaries, because the text says they all, notice that, A-L-L, brought us on our way. And this phrase, "brought us on our way," implies two things. Not only did they physically see them to the shore, the Bible says, where they're going to get on the ship and leave, but implies they helped them materially as well. And you can understand that. I mean, after 5 days with our missionaries, our hearts have been so knit with theirs that we ask them, "What can we help you with?" We make sure corporately as a church that we take care of their financial needs while they're here, as well as their travel, and look to take them on for monthly support. And don't miss this. It wasn't just the men that were involved. The text specifically says wives and children. Listen to me, as your pastor, those of you that have young families, those of you that are planning on having families, if you want a piece of good pastoral advice, you bring your kids to mission conference. You interrupt their schedule. You get them naps in the afternoon. You have them here. You introduce them to the missionaries. I don't agree that your kids are going to end up being a mess if you have them in church all the time. I've got four daughters that absolutely love missionaries today as adults, because they weren't sleeping during the mission conference, either at home or in the services. We made sure that they were rested. We made sure that they were here. We made sure that we involved them with the missionaries, because if the missionaries can change our lives, the missionaries can change our kids' lives. And what parent doesn't want that for their kids? Notice, if you would, the text says that these family brought Paul and his team as far as they could. They brought them right down to the shore. The next step is the water. They're going to get in a dory and they're going to be ferried out to their ship and they're going to leave. But this church walked with them as far as they could walk. And then what a picture. They get to the shore and they all get down on their knees and they pray together. You telling me this is not a divine appointment? You telling me that missionaries aren't making an impact on these families and these families making an impact on them? The greatest compliment that we could be paid as a local church is when a missionary looks at us and says, "Thank you, you've been a blessing to us." That should be the goal, and we should never settle for anything less, and we should not take it for granted. And then the text says we took our leave of them. We went our way, and they went their way, and the encounter was over. But not forgotten, folks. But not forgotten. Life goes on. After this week, we'll return to the routines of our lives, and so will the missionaries. But God's touch in our life, missionary, mutually, will continue. You know, Jesus makes an interesting statement in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And this is an important divine principle. In other words, our hearts instinctively follow what we treasure. Where our treasure is, there will our hearts be also. Therefore, I say, our hearts will follow what we treasure. These believers in Tyre follow these missionaries to the ship. Because the week they had together, they came to value them. They came to treasure them. Therefore, they would follow them because they value them. I can't make decisions of faith for you. But I can use the Word of God, as I've endeavored to this morning, to exhort and encourage you to make right choices by faith. I believe these disciples would have really missed something special if God hadn't brought them and the Apostle Paul and his team together. Just as surely as I believe, you are going to miss something really special that God's going to do this week if you don't come and be a part of it. I don't know how you come this morning. I know we have some visitors with us. I am so thankful that the Lord brought you this morning. But let me speak personally and directly to you for a moment. How on earth could we be concerned about missionaries and missionaries going into the world to share Christ with people that are perishing, that don't know Him, and then for us to have people in the service that don't have the assurance of their salvation? You need to understand this about this pastor. At 24 years of age, I was in a service similar to this one. And if you had asked me, Bruce, if you were to die this afternoon, are you 100% certain you go to heaven? If I'd have been honest, I would have said, I don't have a clue. Can you even know that? I thank God that somebody opened the Word of God personally for me and showed me that you can know for certain you have a home in heaven. Not because of what you've accomplished, not because of your goodness, not because of vows that you've made or determinations that you have made, but because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what He did for you. You see, the Bible teaches that we are like spiritually drowning men. A drowning man does not need a motivational speaker. A drowning man doesn't need someone to tell him you can try it harder. A drowning man doesn't need someone to jump in the water and swim around him saying, follow my example, I'm an AAU coach. A drowning man needs a lifeguard. Someone to grab him around the neck and rescue him. And the Bible teaches that you cannot rescue yourself. You cannot earn your own salvation. That's why Christ had to come. He died on the cross for you because He loved you. He paid for your sin in total. He faced death and defeated it for you. He has done everything necessary to completely forgive you and save you for all eternity. You only have one responsibility: to recognize your need and ask Him to do it. To recognize your need and trust Him because you realize you can't trust yourself. But here's the promise of God's Word: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have a desire to have a relationship with God, if you have a desire to be forgiven, if you have a desire to know for certain you've got eternal life, all you have to do is trust Christ. Ask Him to do for you what you don't have the ability to do yourself. He, if you will, is the spiritual lifeguard. He is the one that will rescue you if you call. And if you've never done that, that's the very reason you're here this morning. It's not an accident. It's not simply a choice that you made to come to Open Door this morning. This is a divine appointment. God loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants a relationship with you. And right where you sit, if you will ask Christ to save you, God has given His word that He'll do it. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for this time that we have together. I'm grateful that You've given me the assurance this morning that Your sheep hear Your voice. That if the Word of God is proclaimed, You by Your very Spirit draw people to the truth of it. You establish faith. You convince of need. And You save. And Father, I pray for those that have heard the Word of God this morning that they would make the conscious decision that You're speaking to their heart about right now. Maybe for some it's the decision to be at the conference this week. Maybe for someone else it's the need to trust Christ. Oh Father, help them. And if You can use us to be a help to them, please use us. We care about their soul. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask it. Amen.